Hey cousin, welcome to Coco Conjure. Here we talk about all things hoodoo, folklore, and spiritual journeys. If you haven't guessed already, my name is Coco. I want to say thanks to everyone who has subscribed, binged past episodes, and reached out to me on Reddit or YouTube. I appreciate you for tuning in. I do not advertise this podcast anywhere. So the fact that you found me is a blessing in and of itself, and I thank you for sticking with me. So I want to say, like, 4 or 5 episodes back, I teased an episode on working mojo bags in particular, and I just never did it, and it did not dawn on me until right now. When I'm like going through my list of topics and checking things off, I'm like, oh my God, I never did that episode. So here we are. I'm very sorry for being a tease. Okay, so all through jazz and blues, you'll find Black artists talking about their mojo working or going down to buy mojo hands or talking about their woman's nation sack. A prominent artist I can think of off the top of my head is Muddy Waters, and the song Got My Mojo Working. You can check the show notes. I leave a link to an old performance of his that I found on YouTube. In this song, he talks about his mojo. In this case, his charm, his sexual prowess is in fact working, right? The problem is it's not working on the woman that he wants. So his solution is to go down to the gypsy woman and get him a hand being another term for a mojo bag or a mojo or amulet. And in this one song, we know he's talking about mojos in 2 different ways, right? The first way, he's talking about it as like his personal power of sexual persuasion, which is the more front-facing slang use of the word mojo when you listen to it in blues and jazz. It's like replace mojo with riz or swag, right? It's that kind of slang term. And then also in this song, Got My Mojo Working, you also have the spiritual element in use, or at least it's implied when he talks about going down to the gypsy woman to buy a hand, to get some spiritual help with his natural mojo. He's going to get a mojo bag to assist in his natural mojo to get this girl. So we've got the slang term, meaning riz or swag or his own like sexual power, his own personal power. But like, what's the spiritual meaning? Because it's implied that he's going to go to the gypsy, but he doesn't really talk about like what that's going to do for him in this song. So yeah, what's the spiritual meaning of mojo, and how is it used in a hoodoo practice? Okay, so just posing that question, your first thought is probably a red flannel bag filled with herbs. Petitions, fetish objects. Fetish objects are like trinkets, like a rabbit's foot, you know, a key or something, and so on. And yeah, that's, you know, you've conjured the right image to mind, right? It's the Black American version of a medicine bag or a witch's sachet, right? It's a soft container, usually a soft container, that holds various materials that are being utilized to cure a spiritual ailment that was worked, or should I say that, you know, the mojo was blessed using spiritual and cultural methods by an occult practitioner. Many practices have something like it, you know, because we're all human. And culturally, we've all independently migrated to various forms of expression based on what we have at hand. And baby, everybody's got a bag or figured out how to make cloth, right? So, of course, we burn it, we smoke it, we bathe in it, we drink it, and, you know, why wouldn't we carry it around with us? And if you're going to carry a spiritual blessing or a spiritual allies or a cultivated spirit with you, of course you would put it in a bag. Of course. Okay, so yeah, something like this is in every culture. Our mojos are derived from West African and Central West African spiritual practices. I know, shocking turn of events. In her book, Mojo Working, Katrina Hazard Donald writes, "In traditional West and Central West African religion, the amulet, in addition to leather, could be housed in sacred cloth, seeds, insect pods, seashells, and snail shells, woven raffia, animal horns, as well as a small and large calabash gourd. The tying of knots and making of protective packets were widespread religious practices in traditional West and Central West African religion and would become staples in African American Black Belt hoodoo practices that would continue into the 21st century." Yeah, so again, it doesn't have to be a soft bag. You could, container work is container work. It could be a jar or, in this case, shells, horns, insect pods, whatever. But most of the time in hoodoo, it's usually when someone says a mojo, they're usually talking about a soft package. That could be the flannel bag. That could be a jack ball, where it's a ball. My understanding is that it's like a ball of with preferred things inside, like dimes or so forth, and it's hanging around your neck, so it becomes like a necklace, but it's still a mojo. it's still a mojo. You can use the jack ball as like a pendulum, but it's still a mojo. Or it could be a packet, so there is no drawstring, it's just folded into cloth, you know, and you carry that around. Regardless, usually it's a soft material holding various items. So the closest form of this West and Central West African practice that, to me at least, feels like the predecessor to the African American mojo and how it's viewed in the hoodoo tradition is the Nkisi, found in the Congo. I'm about to start saying some Congolese words, and I am not from there. I am Black American, so if I pronounce something wrong, please forgive me. But every time I looked it up, every time I heard someone talk about it, they pronounced the word Nkisi. So, okay, so as an American, if you wanted to seek and in Kisi today, like you were curious, you want to know what it looks like, you want to get your hand on one, you'd most likely come across photos or actual statues that are power figures with a belly that's plugged with like a seashell or glass, and inside that belly it's full of roots and herbs and medicines, and it also has a chest full of nails. However, an Nkisi does not have to be a power figure. It does not have to be a statue. They can be bags or whatever material was that was at hand to use. So from what I understand, the word itself, Nkisi, it means sacred medicine. But Nkisi can refer to both the spirit that is housed in this bag or statue, as well as the like actual object itself. So the spirit imbued object is created by an Nganga. Yeah, I think I said that right. So an Nganga is someone who is a spiritual healer, much like a hoodoo root doctor. And they work for their community. It's my limited understanding that this occultist, the Nganga, draws power for the Nkisi and fills its belly with the sacred medicines, and then drives nails into the object as like a request to do work by the spirit inside. So these objects will have like at least the ones I got a chance to see, they'll literally be like littered with nails in its chest. Because the ones I saw were statues, they'll be have a whole bunch of nails in their chest. And these objects were used to heal like a single person or an entire community, you know. So it was flexible in use, flexible in that it's not like one standard thing. It could be one Inkisi for one person to heal an ailment, or it could be, you know, an Inkisi for an entire, you know, neighborhood, entire community to help resolve a dispute on land or something. So like it was very, very flexible in use. Okay. There's definitely more to be mined there. I am not an expert in that. I only tell you what I understand. And if you are curious, I've left some links in the show notes for you to jump down a rabbit hole of info. One of the links is a video in which a bunch of American college students are struggling to understand what spiritual medicine is. And it made me laugh so hard. Like they just could not get it at all. So like, were they supposed to take the medicines out of the belly? Do they know what medicine's in the belly? When you say medicine, do you mean like Robitussin? Or they were just struggling so hard. Also, as much as it may feel like really weird to do so, a fair number of museums around the country actually have Inkisi figures on display. I was really curious, so I went to the Baltimore Museum of Art over the summer, and I was both elated and saddened to see them just on display. But I think that's a topic for another day. Okay, back to mojos. In hoodoo, we use mojos much the same way as the Congolese may use their Inkisi. It's a spiritual defense. It's a spiritual medicine. It's a spiritual draw of blessings. It's easily the most flexible container work that we do. A worker will fill the bag with herbs, roots, fetishes, like we said before, and so on, based on the needs of their client. So, you know, no two mojos will look the same. And sometimes an Inkisi gets passed down from family member to family member, so it stays in the family. And sometimes mojos work the same way. They get passed down from worker to worker, you know, like a family, not necessarily by blood, but by spirit. I guess the thing that's the most important to understand is that the spiritual idea between both, especially for the mojo, is rooted in animism. Animism, the belief that natural objects around us are filled with spirit or souls, much like we are. For my full explanation, as well as like how that fits into my own personal cosmology, I did an entire episode on it called Hoodoo and Animism in Hoodoo is what it's called. But the too long didn't read is when we assemble a mojo, you are invoking the spirits of whatever you put inside and aiming it toward a purpose. So in Coco terms, you are cultivating a larger spirit for your use. And once you have assembled your mojo, I was taught that the worker needs to breathe life into it, not just to give it some of you and your personal power, but also because you've like assembled a new spirit out of an amalgamation of all the things inside of your mojo. So once you've gone to the worker to have your mojo assembled for you, or once you've dared to assemble one for yourself, there is some protocol to follow. Again, everyone has this medicine bag in their practice, their spiritual practices. But what separates it is the culture, normally, right? So here's some protocol, at least how I learned it. First, no one else should have access to your mojo. No one else. this mojo bag that you've assembled, or the jack ball, or the packet, or whatever it is, this is your object of power, and it's a sacred thing. So when you are using it, no one else should have access to it. I even recommend that you name your mojo. Make it as personal as possible for yourself. Second, you should always have it on you. You might find photos of people wearing the jack balls around their necks, or you might hear about people who, you know, stuff it in their bra. I'm a big chested woman myself, so I like to keep it in my bra when I'm out. And at night, you can tuck it under your pillow, but it should stay with you. It should stay with you. And third, you have to feed it. You have to feed the spirit inside the container. You have to feed the spirit. So feeding. If you're coming from a more new age witchy space, people would say that you have to charge things. You charge up your crystals. You charge up your work. You charge your candles, you know, that kind of stuff. But that's not what we do in hoodoo. Instead, we feed the spirit. We give offering to it, basically. So what you feed your mojo is dependent upon what you're using it for. So say you got a lodestone in your mojo bag, you'd feed it like iron shavings, right? In traditional style hoodoo, you might feed it spritzes of Hoyt's cologne or Jockey Club cologne. I find that most often in love workings, we use Hoyt's cologne and Jockey cologne, but it's hoodoo, so dealer's choice on that. I am personally partial to whiskey. Most spirits get down with whiskey as a default, whiskey and water. But you can use what you, if you're the creator of the mojo, you use what is best. If you went to a worker, you use what they tell you to use. So if that worker has a special oil that they've concocted for you to feed your mojo, then that's what you should feed it, right? But regardless, you should keep it fed, keep on a regular schedule until the work is done, or for always, depending on what you're using it for. After some time, I personally will refresh and replace the things in my mojo as needed. Again, I am an earth pagan and I ride with the rhythm of the sun, you know? So I tend to do it on the spring and autumn equinox. I'll open the bag, and if the herbs are, you know, getting dusty and musty in there, I'll take them out and replace. But you are not me. So set a time to refresh and replace the items, or take it back to your worker when instructed to, so that way your mojo bag can be refreshed. Okay, what else do you need to know about mojo as like work, mojo bags? Not the slang, but the actual actual objects. Oh, okay. So far, I've been talking about mojos like bags, right? Like drawstrings. But you can create one yourself using materials you have on hand, or you can go to the craft store and pick up what you like. I personally had cloth around, so I wove a drawstring into the top of it, and I did it that way. The first one I ever created, I used, again, like just cloth I had on hand, and I knotted it myself, and each knot represented like a petition, basically. But that's up to you. But I think it's more fair to use like mojo as an umbrella term because of the many different types and styles you can utilize, right? So we already talked about packets. We already talked about jackballs, but other names for mojos are a mojo hand. Again, a hand is just an object of power. We talked about conjure hands. You can also call mojos a trick bag or a jomo, which is kind of like mojo backward, but not quite. One that my female cousins may find interesting is the nation sack. The nation sack is a type of mojo that's worn as a charm, usually around the waist and under your skirts or dress. Typically, the nation sack may be used as a domination object. You fill it with something of your partner's, and you use it to keep them coming back to your nation sack. That's what you use it for. Or you can fill it with whatever else is important and keep it under your skirts. Oh man, I wish I could remember the name of the song, but in the song, this one guy says he went into his lady's nation sack and pulled out a nickel and a dime or something like that. So like you can keep other things in there. Although I'm pretty sure that he was speaking in euphemism. Okay, so a mojo that you can assemble for yourself, that's probably the easiest to start with, is one for financial success. Money work, at least I find, it doesn't take long to accomplish, and it doesn't take a lot of power on your part, mostly because wealth as a spirit wants to come to you. It ebbs and flows. The problem we have with money is not the ebb and flow normally, it's the wisdom to use our money wisely, right? But you need to draw money to you, or you need to walk into a financial situation with an upper hand. Here's something you can try. I want you to take paper money of any denomination, the higher the better, and dress it in a money oil of your choice. Then I want you to take your hajon root and I want you to dress it in that same oil. Then wrap the hajon in the money till it's really tight and then tie it off with a string to keep it closed. You can do a green string, a yellow string, a gold string, whatever. Just tie it off with a string to keep it closed. Then you're going to place this in a small cloth bag. That's your mojo. And then you're going to tell your mojo its purpose and breathe life into that bag. Be sure to feed it whiskey or anoint the bag with the same money oil often. And talk to it. Take care of it. It's a cultivated spirit willing to help you. You've got the spirit of wealth and our ancestral spirit, Hajon, on your side in this bag, right? So you got to be good to it. And you keep it on you all the time, but especially when you're doing business related stuff or while you are specifically suffering really hard financial hardships and you need a way through. Or you can just go to a worker and have them make one for you. That works. That works just as well. I would tell you, do not buy one offline. Go to a worker. Talk to them. Understand their process. Ask some questions first. Because anybody out here can sell you some spiritual fraud. All right. We've reached the part of the podcast where I dive into online spaces and I try to answer some questions that have come up. Let's see. This question comes from Facebook. It says, I've been going through a phase where I can't focus and I feel detached from everything. What are some tips to feel grounded? It's only negative thoughts in my head. Okay, so some ways to help with that. Assuming that if it's really bad that you've taken your medication or you're seeing a therapist or something, you do not spiritually bypass thoughts that are harmful. Okay, so if you need medicine, if you need to go book an appointment with your therapist, you should do that. But some spiritual things to aid in your quest for mental clarity. First, I would say to do a head washing. your herbs of choice. I would probably use like vetiver. Vetiver, I always, I don't know where I got that from. I always connect it to like clearing things, not just clearing things, but specifically being clear headed, right? So vetiver, that works. Or you can pick up a blend somewhere that you can use to wash your head. Coconut milk, if you're looking for easy things, like simple things, coconut milk is a good thing also to wash your head with, just to clear your mind. But these are temporary. It's a temporary solution. Long term, I would tell you that you need to have a habit that helps. So the most obvious one is to actually ground, is to go outside with your bare feet and touch the ground with your feet, and just pull yourself back down to earth. Feel, you know, roots sprouting from your feet, connect to the earth under you, and really just be present in that moment. Just a meditation practice that can be helpful, where you take, you know, 4 or 5 minutes and you just allow yourself to come back to your inner garden, your inner place of peace. And all you have to do in that space is just breathe in and out. That's it. That's all you got to do. Another way to do this is with touchstones. I did that a lot when I first started. I had, it can be anything. It doesn't just have to be a touchstone, but I had crystals in my pocket, one in each pocket. And whenever I found myself just kind of giving in to my anxiety, I would bring myself back to present by counting the beads on my bracelet, or by running my fingers over the crystal in my pocket and really feeling the edges. Basically, it's something to just pull you back to center so that way you can refocus. Another way to handle that is to create a mojo, to create that mojo. And whenever you feel yourself kind of drifting away or in a headspace that's not helpful, squeeze the mojo, right? And repeat a mantra to yourself. I am not my thoughts. I am not my thoughts. That's also helpful. But again, those are tactics to get through, to allow yourself some reprieve. If that's all you need, just to recenter, and once you've recentered, that's a good practice to keep up with. I think that's great. But if you need something more than that, if you need medication, if you need therapy, please make sure you do that. Take care of yourself. That's the most important thing, truly. All right. We've made it to the end of the podcast. Woo. This episode is, it's not the last episode of the season, but it's the last episode where I'll talk to you this way. And the next episode, I'm going to give a spiritual meditation that I do, a guided meditation, that I think might be helpful for some. I'm going to treat this one in this moment like the last episode so I can talk to you all. Man, I cannot believe it's been 2 seasons. I cannot believe it's almost been a year. It'll be a year, February 4th, that I started this journey. The muse came to me and she told me, you have a lot to say and you should say it. It's okay that you're not the most prestigious worker. It's okay that you don't have clients. It's okay that you know, that you're not going to have 10 million followers. None of that matters, because right now what matters is my ability to just share, my ability to tell stories, my love for stories. So the muse, you know, The spirit of creativity fell upon me a year ago and pushed me into trying this. And I am so glad that I did. I thought that I was going to stop after two seasons. 1 year of it was enough. But I, looking at my notebook, I have so much more topics I want to talk about. So many more stories we can talk about. So there's going to be another season. And I think after this, I'm just going to take it a season at a time. But I am going to take a break in between seasons. It's not going to be as long as the last go round. I'm going to take a break. I have some health things that are coming to resolution. In an effort to not talk about work being done before it's done. That's all I'm going to say on that. I don't mean to be like that, you know. You know how YouTubers and content creators, they're cryptic. They're like, I've got great things coming up soon. Like, I don't mean to do that. I'm just saying, like, I'm working on myself and I'm working on my health. And the next step in my journey is going to require me to really focus in and do some recovery. So I need to focus on that. And in that time, I'll probably still keep, you know, outlining episodes and reading and I'll probably still have stuff to say, but that doesn't, I need a break. I need a break so that way I can focus on myself. And the first part of my path this year is going to be a difficult one. I've already seen it. So I want to give myself the best shot of recovering from it. So I will be back the first Sunday in February. Again, there's one more episode after this, episode 44. I'm going to do a meditation. And then after that, I'll be back the first Sunday in February, which to you guys will be like, it'll be like not that large of a gap, but for me, it'll be a pretty big gap. So, thank you for staying with me for two seasons. If you've just joined, I've got two seasons worth of content. It's like over 40 or 50 episodes. If you include the minisodes on YouTube, it's like 50, but I've got like 40 plus episodes on every other podcast platform. I tell stories. I talk about, you know, spiritual things. I answer questions online with my big sis. I explore the spiritual journeys of the influential women around me. So there's a lot to, you know, a lot to view and listen to while I'm gone. And I hope you get a chance to explore that backlog of content. Before we get out of here, cousin, I want to let you know that you deserve the world. Truly. Your mojo is not just a bag. It's not just an object. It's not just your hand of power. It is your personal power, you know, using that slang term. Your mojo can be your personal power as well. It's a precious thing, and we can utilize that to really open up new pathways and heal ourselves and draw blessings to us. And cousin, if you call for your blessing, I promise they will come to you. Next episode is meditation, and then I'll see you guys in February.